It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for tuning in all over North America. I don't care if you are in Philadelphia. I don't care if you're in Kansas City. You could be in Nova Scotia. You could be in Miami. You could be here in Atlanta with me. You could be in New York with super producer and host Ryan Hickey. You could be in Los Angeles waiting for the debut of Luka Doncic. You could be in Alaska. You could be in Edmonton. Wherever you are, thank you for being here. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This show gets rolling every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And we've had a busy show already. We talked about the Super Bowl. We showed love to the Philadelphia Eagles. We talked about the Kansas City Chiefs and what happens next. And next hour, we're going to have a chat with someone who covers the team. Blair Kirkhoff is going to join us. He covers Kansas City, all things Chiefs, for the Kansas City Star. We got plenty of time to get into the Philadelphia Eagles, their success, what they're going to do into the future. And in a few minutes, I got to show them a whole lot of love. I mean, Philadelphia as a fan base, as a city, they are tough on the Eagles. And Jalen Hurts, congratulations to him. This guy, he slayed a dragon. He beat the guy that a lot of dudes in the AFC wanted to beat, and they haven't. We'll talk about Jalen Hurts in a second. You want to be a part of the show? Easy. You can call me, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. I'm on the internet. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. That is at JR Sport Brief all over the place on social media. And we've had a busy show. Anthony Davis, we got into his debut with the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, he had an amazing game, and then he got hurt in the most Anthony Davis way possible. I mentioned to you just seconds ago, Luka Doncic expected to make his debut tonight for the Los Angeles Lakers in L.A. That'll be fun. Hopefully, he can show up and stay healthy enough to go out there and play. And then right before we went to break, we talked about the news that Jay Glazer broke on Fox yesterday. And that is that Aaron Rodgers has been told by the New York Jets, we don't want you back. Don't come back. We're going to move forward and look elsewhere. Okay. Reasonable. And you know what? Having said that, is another guy. We don't know what his future holds, and that's Travis Kelce. But we're going to get into that. I'm going to get to your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We got Blue. Blue is here from San Diego. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Blue?
Hey, how's it going, JR?
It's going. How are you?
Pretty good. I got to watch the Madden Cruiser, and it got me thinking that Bill Belichick mentioned something about a voodoo doll when they won their first championship back in 2000 over in New Orleans. And I wonder if a few years from now we're going to see some voodoo doll on Patrick Mahomes because of the beatdown that he got yesterday. So it's crazy. But I enjoyed the whole game with the family. Took some burgers and some sausages before the game, sat down half an hour before the game, and I sat through the whole thing. And I was very impressed. I think the Eagles will be back. Barring they don't get major injuries and they keep building their offensive front line, offensive front line and their defensive front line. I think they got a good formula there.
Well, let me ask you this, Blue. You say you're in San Diego. Are you a Chargers fan?
Yes, I am. I'm the guy who told you that I started being a Bills fan and then I turned to the Chiefs. I don't know if you recall that call a couple times ago.
Wait. So now you're happy that the Chiefs lost, or I'm confused. Now I'm even more confused.
Well, I'm not necessarily disappointed, but I mean it did happen a few years ago, and Patrick Mahomes got torn by the Buccaneers. He got pirated.
Look at the pun. He got pirated by the Bucks. Got it.
Yeah, but let me tell you this. What? There's nothing more dangerous than a man who has been to the top and then he's he's beat down. I think Mahomes is going to have fire to come back and prove the haters wrong. So
I don't think
I have respect. I have respect for the whole organization of the Chiefs. And when the Chiefs hired the Chiefs, when the Chiefs hired
what? I blew. Okay.
Andy Reid.
Yeah, it's been a while now, Blue. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. When they hired Reid, the Chargers hired McCoy. And where's McCoy now? He's probably, I don't know, coaching in high school or whatever.
Well, Blue, we can go down a whole line of mistakes and Anthony Lynn's and what have you that San Diego has brought in. So I'm glad that you had fun. I'm glad that you enjoyed your family. The game still sucked. Thank you, Blue, for calling from San Diego. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Hickey, I was trying to follow. He said he was a Chargers fan, and then he started rooting for the Bills, and then he went from the Bills to rooting for the Chiefs, and then what?
For half that story, his name is Blue. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, he just likes the color blue. Chargers, baby blue. Bills, royal blue, I think is maybe their color. Like, you know, whatever. It's a blue. Then he goes to the Chiefs. Then happy for the Eagles. I don't know. The color scheme got thrown off there. Not many people are probably saying you're my boy, Blue, after that. That's just, yeah.
Blue is just watching football or cook burgers outside. Okay.
You know, he probably enjoys it more than most of us do. No, there sounds like there's no stress in Blue's life watching football. Not bad.
Oh, listen, a stress-free life is a good one if you can have it. Maybe we could all be a little bit like Blue. Thank you, Blue. We're still confused on your fandom, but thank you for being here. Anyway, speaking of someone who was sad yesterday, and you saw the pain in his face. Looking at Travis Kelce last night was almost like, okay, you can move the camera now. I don't know. I believe they showed Taylor Swift. Hickey, I counted one time. Did they show her more than once?
No, there was like, yeah. I don't know if like counting on the, maybe it was on social media. I remember if they showed a picture of her on the Jumbotron and the booze that came with it. Maybe that was just social media. Then I think it was just one. Maybe if we're wrong and quickly a quick glance, maybe two, but very minimal, minimal Taylor.
Yeah, for everybody who likes to complain, about the Kansas City Chiefs and all the refs, you got nothing to say now. And then for people complaining about Taylor Swift being shown so much, I only remember seeing her once. And any time that they showed her was at a minimum, just flat and period. And they showed Kelce enough looking miserable on the bench, looked like a lost puppy dog. Last night, 4 receptions, 39 yards, didn't have a catch until the third quarter. Travis Kelce is 35 years old. Next season, he will be 36 years old. I think we all know this. It doesn't matter how you feel about the man, what's left in the tank, what's not left in the tank. Travis Kelce is closer to the end than he is to the beginning. This man has played even before he got into the NFL. His whole goal was to be famous. They had a plan coming out of college. He's done television shows and dating shows, and now he's dating Taylor Swift, and God knows where that's going to end or what's going to happen. He's hosting game shows and what have you. There's no reason for him to stick around outside of, you know what, let me squeeze as much out of the game of football as I can, because let's be real, when it's over, it's over. I don't see no Rob Gronkowski situation where, I can come back and play with the greatest. Travis Kelce is going to ride this until the wheels fall off. And he basically said as much last week. There's no expectation for him just to wake up and disappear. A matter of fact, Patrick Mahomes, he had to answer to some of the rumors yesterday about Travis Kelce potentially just quitting.
He's done enough to be a gold jacket guy and first ballot Hall of Famer. But I know he still has love for the game, and he'll get to spend some time with his family and make that decision on his own. But, I mean, he knows he'll come back here with welcome arms. We love that guy, not only for the football player, but the person that he is every single day.
And look, if he's gone, and I know for all of the numbers, and he has seen a dip in his production over the past few years when it comes, you know, down to the yards and how great he's looking. It's not the same. For the past two seasons, Travis Kelce has not gone past 1,000 yards receiving. This year, 823 yards receiving to only three touchdowns. That's paltry. That's even lower than what he did last season. 984 yards receiving to go along with five touchdowns. 2 years ago, when they won their last Super Bowl, 1,300 yards receiving and 12 touchdowns. That's a ways off. Travis Kelce, he spoke as well. And he said the Eagles, he says in every single part of the game, they outplayed us. Listen to this.
I mean, they just got after us on all three phases, and then on top of that, you know, turnovers, penalties, playing behind the sticks on offense is just drop passes, not taking advantage of, you know, the play call and executing. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. You don't lose like that without everything going bad.
Yeah, I think he'll be back. Why leave now, right? I get it. You're not leaving on top. No fairy tale ending last night. He didn't hug and kiss his girlfriend and go viral on social media. None of that. I think just naturally, if you look at how his career has gone, you know, squeeze everything that you can out of it. Because when it's done, it's done. He'll be 36 to start next season. And the numbers have fallen, not just the receptions. Even if you take a look at the yards per reception, this year is the first year of his career where he has not exceeded more than 10 yards a catch. This year, only 8.5 yards a reception. This guy's used to hauling in 12 and 13 yards a catch. He ain't moving off that line like he used to, and that's just naturally what happens when you get old. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Eric is here from Boise. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Eric?
Thanks for taking my call. You know, if I was to use one word to describe the game last night, the Chiefs, it was disinterested. It just didn't seem like they wanted to be there. No fire, no fight. They just kind of let the Eagles push them around and, you know, have their way with them. And, you know, history has shown if you can get pressure with four, it's going to be a long night. Even back when the Patriots lost to the Giants able to get pressure with four. I mean, that's the key to winning a ball game right there, pressure with four. And the Eagles did it all night long. I've never seen Mahomes get hit that many times.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was sacked six times. And thank you, Eric, for calling from Boise. I wouldn't go as far to say that they were, you know, disinterested or just kind of quit. They just got beat up. I don't think it was for lack of trying. I don't think any of that was the case. The Philadelphia Eagles are the younger team. They're the more dominant team on defense, and they just did not have an answer for them. They controlled the game, and it was the perfect formula. You know, Hickey and I talked about this on Friday, and I said, man, how can the Eagles look bad in this game? Hopefully Nick Sirianni or anybody. I don't expect it from Andy Reid. It's like hopefully they don't get cute, and they didn't. They kept to what they did. And I know the Philadelphia Eagles, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, bringing in Fangio. What's cute to do when you have Saquon Barkley, you have a bulldozer in Jalen Hurts, you have the two wide receivers in Smith and Brown. We even saw Dotson show up yesterday big time. There's nothing like they played punch you in the mouth football, and it paid off. The Kansas City Chiefs weren't able to answer at all. I don't think it was for lack of fight. They didn't just have the ammunition to fight back. How about that? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the team that won. Let's hear from the Eagles, because Jalen Hurts, he has certainly elevated his game into another place. It's one thing to have two Super Bowl appearances. To be real, it's not bad picking up a victory. We'll hear from Jalen Hurts on the other side of the break. Show some love to the Eagles. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they could have used Tony Gonzalez yesterday. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, they could have used Tony Gonzalez all year long. No disrespect to Travis Kelce. The two tight end set with both of them out there. That'd have been better than some of them aging veterans they had to bring in at the wide receiver position. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We just had a couple of callers. One of our callers, Blue from San Diego, really talked about how he enjoyed every part of the Super Bowl yesterday, sitting down with his family, watching the game, enjoying the game. And we talked about someone who was like visibly pained throughout the course of the Super Bowl. Didn't have a catch until the third quarter, and that's Travis Kelce. Someone who had an opportunity to enjoy almost the whole game, even though he threw an interception early. It's Jalen Hurts, the man who was named the MVP of the Super Bowl. The man who today, after winning yesterday, preparing all last week, had to take a flight down to Florida to be paraded around Disney World. The man who scored and accounted for three touchdowns yesterday. He's someone who really enjoyed every minute and every second of the game. This is the same Jalen Hurts who was drafted in 2020, number 53 overall. Yeah, that was that COVID draft. The damn draft that we had in, Hickey, that was Roger Goodell's basement, wasn't it?
With his infamous chair. I think it's more famous. I take back infamous. With his famous chair that he allegedly may have nodded off in.
Oh, my goodness. And what day was that? Was that the second day he fell asleep?
I think so. I think you're right. I think it was, what would that be, Friday?
Oh, man. Hickey, I don't even know what the hell. Was I watching that draft? I think I was so miserable at that point of the world anyway, you know?
Yeah, weren't we all? Well, were you? You weren't here by that point?
Here as in where?
As in the JR Sport Brief show on the Infinity Sports Network?
Oh, yeah. This show started like March. It started in March. Yeah, I was here. It was fun to talk about sports with no sports, Hickey.
So maybe we were doing the draft show together back then.
I don't know. Were we?
I can't remember, honestly. That whole time is a gigantic blur.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think about the years of my life that were missed that I won't get back. Unfortunately, the people that are missed, it's just been, it was an interesting time to say the least. Now, imagine being Jalen Hurts and being drafted that year. There's no stage to walk across. There's nothing. It's like, oh, I got drafted, whoop-de-doo. So there was no fanfare. And then when you think about Jalen Hurts and his career coming out of college, he was benched at Alabama for Tua. Tua ends up winning the national championship. Hurts then has to go to Oklahoma. He has to wait to get his chance with the Eagles. People are looking at him going, oh, my God, this guy's actually great. Takes them to a Super Bowl, loses the Super Bowl, has to go through, three different coordinators, has to, you know, suffer and go backwards. And they had that crap season last year where the Philadelphia Eagles barely won games by holding on. They finished 11-6, that was their ultimate record. They finished the season 1-5, then got smacked around in the postseason by the Buccaneers. Nick Sirianni had to fire his offensive coordinator. He had to fire his defensive coordinator. In comes Kellen Moore, who's going to coach the Saints, and in comes Vic Fangio, and they turn things around. Oh, yeah, can't forget Saquon Barkley. One hell of an engine to kind of keep this thing moving. And so this hasn't been easy for Jalen Hurts. And I want you to really listen to this stat, this bit of information. He is the fourth quarterback to win a Super Bowl after initially suffering a loss. Like, that's big. And I always admired when he lost that Super Bowl 2 years ago in Arizona, how Jalen Hurts sat in front of the media and didn't whine, didn't cry, didn't complain, wanted to get back and sat there. You wouldn't know whether he won or whether he lost. This man is pretty awesome with what he's done. And last night on Fox, after winning, all Jalen Hurts said was thank you.
The good, the bad, all of it, using it as fuel to pursue my own greatness. And I think I couldn't do any of these things without the guys around me. You know, we had a special group this year. We were able to learn from the past and get some nice new pieces and get over that hump.
Man, it was no newer piece than Saquon Barkley. This man finished the season with the most yards ever, regular season and postseason, by a running back. Saquon Barkley finished the year with 2,504 yards rushing. Now, we all know they play an additional game. We got 17 games, and every bunch of decades, we're moving from 14 to 16 to 17. We get all of that. Saquon Barkley is the biggest piece that they added. And he said, you know what? It's not just about me. It's all of us. This is what he told the NFL Network.
Wouldn't be able to be here without the team. The team is amazing, especially those guys up front. And shout out to the Chief Defense, especially the run defense. They did a great job. But at the end of the day, we're holding up the trophy.
Yeah, he's a little shot across the bow there. He's like, listen, y'all stopped me, but did you see what my quarterback did? Did you see what he did? Pretty hilarious yesterday. They were making jokes on the sideline. Hickey, did you see them making fun of A.J. Brown's book?
I did. That had a nice little prop, took it back. Look, when you're up winning the whole game, easy to joke around.
You can have all the fun in the world. A.J. Brown hauled in a touchdown yesterday. Nothing to complain about when you're the champs, right? Nothing. Not at all. A.J. Brown, he talked about Jalen Hurts and his contributions to getting them to another championship. Listen to this. NFL Network.
He played unbelievable. He did an amazing job all day. He showed up. He answered the call. He stayed poised all day, and he made the plays when needed.
Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback drafted after Patrick Mahomes to win a Super Bowl. Everybody else got to get in line. Everybody that was drafted alongside Mahomes in 2018, 2020, a contemporary finally won. Finally. Jalen Hurts, man, he got the hardware that Josh Allen doesn't have, Lamar Jackson doesn't have. This is what they want. He got it. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Greg is here from Alabama. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hello, sir. Thank you very much for taking the call. I had a nugget I thought would be interested on this Monday after the Super Bowl. When Hurts was freshman at Alabama, he didn't start that first game against USC that they ended up winning 52-6, but he came in and that's where Alabama scored all their points and he had a great year. He's the SEC freshman of the year. And then the next year, that's when there was all this struggle going on and he had a difficult time. And it was just really not as easy as it was. And the thing that's interesting to me about that is, do you know who the offensive coordinator at Alabama was that came in that year?
Oh, shoot.
It was Brian Daboll. I think when you look at that, you look at all this in the context now, that maybe us Alabama fans, we look back at that, and maybe it wasn't Jalen struggling so much. Maybe there was a coaching issue there or something. But
why do we want to be? Has Brian Daboll not been beat up enough over the past year and a half with the Giants? So why we gotta bring Brian Daboll? It's not like Alabama doesn't cycle through offensive coordinators like nothing anyway.
Well, you're right. They have gone through a few. they certainly did.
What did he do to you? Nothing?
Oh, he didn't do anything to me.
Okay, all right.
He didn't do anything to me.
Okay,
but right. I enjoy y'all's show. I listen all the time coming home from work, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg. Hey, listen, if the New York Giants ever give him the boot, make sure you call us up, okay?
Okay. I'll be the first in line, dude.
All right, thank you. Let's kick him while he's down. Treat him like he's like Drake. But thank you, Greg. Appreciate you. Hickey, I didn't expect us to be throwing darts at of all people, Brian Daboll today.
He was probably, I mean, I was going to say he's probably having a nice evening. That's probably false. He's probably having not a, he was probably having an okay evening.
Joe Shane having a worse evening.
Yes. And now all of a sudden, yeah, you got Greg from Alabama just taking shots across the bow from stuff 7 years ago.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you know who his offensive coordinator was? I'm like, no, bro. Who is it? Brian Daboll. What? Okay, all right. So Brian Daboll got a head coaching job because he sucked at Alabama with Hurts, or am I missing something? I thought he got a job because he was good with the Bills and Josh Allen. I don't know. That was random. Hickey, what a way to kick a guy when he's down. I mean, not his fault. But he might get the boot. You think Brian Day, now he's making me think about the Giants. The Giants are going to select the quarterback. You'd agree with that, Hickey, right?
Yes.
Tennessee said they would trade out of the spot.
Mm-hmm.
You think they'll, I think they're bluffing. Unless some idiot just like blows them away. I think Tennessee will keep it and select Travis Hunter. I think they'll go one more year with Will Levis just so they can tank, and that way they can have Travis Hunter. Do you think they just say, oh, let's trade back and get more picks?
I just don't think they can. Like, everything you hear about this quarterback class, it's not that great. You know, guys have flaws in their game. I don't think any team right now, it seems, is going to be willing to not only draft one of them, take the risk, but also have to give up, I mean, depending on where you're coming from, 7-1, 6-1, like at least a second round pick, maybe a first round pick. That's a lot to give up for a guy that's a big time question mark.
So no dummy teams this year. Tennessee will keep that number one spot.
That's what I would assume, yes.
So if Tennessee keeps that spot, I would assume they select Travis Hunter. Cleveland Browns are definitely taking a QB. And so what? The New York Giants will take whoever's not Shador or Cam Ward. Is that what it is? One of the two of those guys?
Whoever is left, you would think.
Does that buy Joe Shane in Daboll another year? Knowing that you have a rookie quarterback, all they can do is throw the ball to Malik Nabers. Is that enough to get you time?
No, I don't think so. I think the NFL has shifted.
They're going to can him?
And if things don't go well, if they don't develop, I mean, Gerard Mayo got canned. He had a rookie quarterback actually play well.
Yeah, but we know they booted him out. It's the nature of the business. They saw Mike Vrabel was available and they said, "All right, we're gonna hire you." That's it. And I know he got fired last year, but instead of looking real dirty, they at least let him have a bad season first before they looked at Mike Vrabel and said, "All right, we're gonna get Gerard Mayo out of here and hire Vrabel." That's all that was. Like, if you're the New York Giants, Like, what is the marker next year outside of the quarterback who we draft? We have to have some belief that he shows flashes of being decent. I don't even know. If you're the New York Giants and you just won 3 games this past season, do you look at it and go, we have to win 5 games? Is it even a number there? I think it's strictly about the development and talent. I don't know. The Giants are starting to look. Somebody called about a voodoo doll on Patrick Mahomes. The New York Giants are looking real cursed. Not looking good for them. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We are going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, you know, there was some positivity in the game yesterday. There was some positivity in the NFL. You know, we talked about Hubie Brown, this guy is leaving. There's an NFL legend who returned. And then Tom Brady. We'll talk about Tom Brady as well, as he made his Super Bowl debut, this time in the broadcast booth.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227 is the number. That's 855-212-4227. Hickey, I'm just disappointed. We really can't jump into the game because the game stunk. It was a beatdown. And so to look at all the surrounding elements of the game, you know, how great Hurts looked and picking up a championship and MVP and Saquon Barkley being an engine to really help get them over the hump. The defense was absolutely amazing. Now it will be interesting to see how they keep guys like Sweat and Bond and free agents who came in and helped them win. But then it's a lot of the before and after the game that captured, you know, my attention. Like, how about this? Randy Moss returned. We learned a couple of months ago, really. Randy Moss didn't necessarily disclose, you know, what his issue was that took him on leave. But Randy Moss revealed that he had cancer. And, well, last night on ESPN, yesterday on ESPN, Randy Moss, he returned, and it was quite emotional. This is what it sounded like on ESPN.
Y'all already know it's the big crybaby here, man. Hey, y'all, I couldn't do it alone. And I really thank y'all, NFL, my teammates. I seen Pep, I seen Miss Green, I seen Brady Belichick. Hey, guys, it's been hard, but I got a lot of love and a lot of people believe in me, man. So I'm happy to be here, man. You said, Greeny, don't do it again. Let's get this show started, man. Yeah, God bless you, all, man. God is good, man.
Yeah, one of the greatest wide receivers that the NFL has ever seen. Like, he last broadcast almost exactly 2 months ago. I mean, time just flies. December 6th is when he stepped away, and he returned yesterday just in time for the Super Bowl. And it was good to see him. He looked like he was in good health, and that was absolutely amazing. And earlier in the day, if you just so happen to be watching ABC, this is the only reason why I even turned it on, just to see Hubie Brown's last game. Now, I have lamented the fact for years, listening to Hubie Brown sometimes is a little too much for me. He's 91 years old. Yeah, I've been listening much longer than that. This man has been broadcasting 35 seasons. 35 years he's been broadcasting. He's been in basketball for 70 years. And so sometimes listening to Hubie Brown explain the painted area, I go, okay, Hubie, we get it, we understand. But to see him do what he's done for so long in teaching the game of basketball, it's remarkable. And so to see the love and admiration he received and being 91 and still have a job and do what you love throughout the tragedy of losing his wife and his kids. And it's just, it's terrible. But yesterday, he was shown love by the players, the staff, everyone. And so Mike Breen, all-time great as well, he was on ESPN and he showed love to his partner, Hubie Brown.
There's so many people who worked on today's telecast. For all of us, it's a labor of love. And all we wanted to do, see, I can't look at you right now, is to adequately pay tribute to you. We've all felt we've had this privilege and honor to work with you, and especially those of us who've been able to sit next to you, like those play-by-play voices. Our only hope today, Hubie, was to make you understand how much you mean to us and how much we love you.
Yeah, man. Hickey, I almost shed a tear. It was, I was like, damn, this is rough. Because he admitted, and you would imagine when you're 91 years old, he said what, you know, I've said, what you said, conversations we've had for a long time. Like, it is not easy. It's not easy for somebody half Hubie Brown's age to get up and do the work that he does. It's not easy for anybody because the challenge, not even a challenge, the job doesn't start when Hubie Brown is at the arena. He just shows up and talks basketball. He has to travel. He has production meetings. He has to go to the hotel. Those days at the arena are not short ones. Like, he's there from, you know, afternoon until late at night and has to travel late at night to get back to the hotel and then get up early and catch a flight and turn around. And yes, it's a beautiful job. But it can be a challenging one. It's a taxing job. And to do that at 91 years old, I don't care if Hubie Brown is calling one basketball game a week or one every 2 weeks. That is not an easy thing to do. And it wasn't said explicitly, but he did say the challenges of my age and health have affected, you know, my ability to just consistently do the gig. You know, Hickey, I wish him nothing but the best. We know at 91, he ain't going to be here for another 91 years. But whatever he's doing, I certainly hope he feels loved. He said his family was in attendance yesterday. I hope he's feeling a lot of love. That's it.
Same. Absolutely the same. I hope he enjoys retirement. I hope he's able to do some things now that he's a free man, if you will, in terms of working. Yeah, no, it was a great touch. I'm glad he's able, you know, obviously to cap off what has been a great career. And you hear just the emotion in Mike Breen's voice, like he speaks to everyone in the basketball community, with how much Hubie Brown has meant, how much he's been around, and the impact that he's leaving on the game.
The last person I can remember being able to leave under their own volition and have a chance to say bye, and I could be wrong, I could be incorrect, and I'm not putting him in, you know, one of my favorite greatest broadcasters, well, not Hubie Brown. The last time I remember a farewell for someone who was older was Vince Scully, Hickey. That's it. Like, there was a, I don't want to call a natural phasing out, but he slowly but surely stopped doing the road trips and then called the home games, and then they would dwindle that down, and he stopped. Like, it's still hard for me to believe. Like, his final season was 2016. I remember them winding him down, or him winding himself down, but I can't remember anybody else having, you know, typically you have a job like what they do or what we do. When it's done, it's done. Ain't no farewell, ain't no goodbye. It's done, and you just got to keep on moving on. So I'm happy for him in that regard, but nobody else stands out to me. Vince Scully, he was 88 years old when he finished up with the Dodgers.
Wow, that puts it into perspective. Because, again, like you said, Hubie's traveling. Is it every day like baseball? No. But still at 91, I don't know where his home base is, but he's traveling at least once a week for one of these games. It's admirable. Right. It really is impressive. Yeah. Crazy to think about, too.
Yeah. All the best to Hubie Brown, and whatever he gets into, all the best to him. And then last night, as we discussed, Tom Brady, he called his first Super Bowl. And I don't know how much there is to judge Tom Brady on his first Super Bowl, because, quite frankly, what the hell was there to analyze? Nothing. It was an ass-whooping. It was a beatdown. He and Tom Brady, he's over here making jokes with Jalen Hurts after the game on Fox. Listen.
It's going to take a while to process it. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning, and you're going to feel so good. What I want you to feel good about is don't let that jersey out of your sight. I had a few stolen over the years.
I learned that.
So keep track of that. It's going to be memorable down the road. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations to you and your team.
Oh, that was nice. Tom Brady giving advice. Is Tom Brady a sympathetic figure in anything? Am I missing something, Hickey? Like, if Tom Brady going, yeah, I've had a couple of jerseys stolen, I go, so what? Like, so what? Hey, we don't care.
We don't. Now, I would definitely have my jersey stolen if it meant you winning the Super Bowl a lot, so I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. Yeah, no, I don't think people feel bad for Tom Brady. But I think it just, you know, shows maybe he's not totally robotic. He has a personality that I don't think has really come out much during the broadcasts so far this year. And maybe, you know, unlike the commercial that he was in with the Duracell battery, maybe he's just not a total robot.
You see, now that is a commercial I do remember. I remember that one. They called, yeah, and then they said Gronk needed his batteries changed too, right? Or something like that.
That's not bad. A little self-deprecation.
Yeah.
Humanize him.
It would have been better if they pulled the batteries out of his brain, like out of his head, instead of his arm. I think that would have been a... I was waiting on that. When they reached into his arm, I was like, his arm? They could have done a little bit different. But I think I realized how Tom Brady was when he was drunk off of, what was it, avocado tequila? Is that what he was drinking?
Oh, yeah, that's right. After the Bucs Super Bowl. Good memory.
He almost threw the trophy into the bay. That's the first time I saw Tom Brady live a little.
So you're saying, what, next year, week one, let's get him that boozed up and see how the broadcast goes?
Yeah, it might be better.
I'll
put it to you this way. He didn't catch a lot of crap for that either. Anybody else would have caught some crap. I mean, we've seen a lot of drunk athletes over the past several years, apparently drinking and, you know, getting real tipsy and inebriated at a parade is kind of commonplace at some of these sporting events right now, or the parades. Tom Brady, he didn't catch no heat. Nobody bothered him.
Rightfully so. I think that should be celebrated. Get drunk as hell, celebrate the fans, celebrate the championship. I think that should be condoned.
Oh,
within reason, of course. I mean,
he almost lost the Vince Lombardi trophy.
But he's not hurting anybody.
If he lost the Vince Lombardi, would he catch some crap for that?
Oh, definitely. For sure. And that's justified. But thank God he just got it there. It was a Gronk, right? Good hands.
I think I found another reason why the old lady is not his old lady anymore, but what do I know? It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we're going to talk some more football. We're going to have a guest. Blair Kirkhoff is joining us from the Kansas City Star. Don't move.